the fifth case, U.S. versus Siddiqui. How is that pronounced?
Siddiqui.
Siddiqui? All right. Mr. Cohen.
May it please the court. There are four issues presented in this case. The main one involves entrapment. The district court, before the case was submitted to the jury, took away the defendant's entrapment defense. This case, as the court notes, entrapment is generally a question of fact, for the jury.
What fact do you think established entrapment?
In this case, Your Honor, the defendant was engaged in the business.
I understand what he was doing, but I don't know what fact you think established a defense of entrapment.
The defendant had decided not to purchase any ephedrine products after he was unsuccessful in obtaining them from two licensed dealers. After that, he continued his business.
He could have purchased all of the stuff without violating the law, couldn't he?
Yes. Yes. In fact, the possession of ephedrine itself is not a crime.
So that he could have, what he did was not a crime at that stage of the game, when the government gave an opportunity to buy it.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct.
He hasn't committed a crime at all.
Hasn't committed a crime at that point at all.
So when does he commit the crime?
Well, in actuality, Your Honor, it's our position he didn't commit a crime at all.
Well, then how could he be entrapped?
Well,
you have to commit a crime to be entrapped in committing a crime.
Well, that's what makes this case very unique.
Well, then you're doing it backwards. If you think he didn't commit a crime at all, that's a different point. But to say he was entrapped in committing a crime acknowledges the existence of the crime.
Well, that's because the government had charged him with the crime of possession or distribution of...
Or what did he do that is not a crime that constituted entrapment then?
Well, the government contends that he distributed the ephedrine products to his customers in the usual course of business.
Did he?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that a crime?
No, that's not a crime either.
If you don't have a license, is that a crime?
It's a crime if you don't have a license. However,
did he have a license?
He didn't have a license, but...
Well, then he distributed it without a license, and that's the crime.
No, because the regulations dealing with the distribution of ephedrine products specifically provide that if an unlicensed distributor gets that from a licensed distributor,
that's
not a crime.
That's agency.
Yes, Your Honor.
So that he could have been an agent. What evidence is there? Well, that's a different point. But I'm back to where I was. How did you establish that he was entrapped into doing anything that was not a crime?
Well, he was entrapped, Your Honor, because the government contacted one of the licensed distributors.
We've already established it's not a crime for him to buy the stuff that they made available to him, that wasn't a crime.
Yes.
So they didn't entrap him in committing a crime.
Well, technically, I suppose that's correct.
Well, not technically. Actually, that's not a crime. And if it's not a crime, then it can't be entrapment. If it can't be entrapment, you're not entitled to entrapment instruction. Now, that seems to be fairly elementary.
Well, because he was charged with this offense, and because he did not intend to distribute it without...
That's pleading any alternative. I didn't kill him, but if I did, it was his fault. But that isn't how you handle the thing. Either you killed him or you didn't kill him. Either you committed a crime or you didn't commit a crime. If you didn't commit a crime, you can't be entrapped in committing a crime that you didn't commit.
Well,
the government can't be charged with it, and the jury can't be instructed in that.
Well, they should have been instructed because it was a question of fact.
No, it wasn't a question of fact, because in order to make it a question of fact, you have to, for practical purposes, say what he did was a crime. Not that he did it, but that what he did was a crime.
Well, I suppose technically then you're correct, Your Honor, because what he did was not a crime under the circumstances.
So you have a defense on the merits that it was. Your defense really is that it was an agency
right.
situation.
Yes.
So what do you care about the entrapment?
Well, because
Can't have one without the other, as Judge Bauer.
Well, I
matter of fact, it would have been to your detriment. If you get the jury discussing an entrapment, you're saying the guy only committed the crime because the government trapped him into doing it.
Well, it places the defendant in an awkward position of arguing, well, he wasn't. He didn't commit a crime,
well,
therefore.
If he's going to stick with the agency, that's a defense to the crime.
Yes.
Or the charge.
Yes, Your Honor.
Theirs is the only defense I can see. I wandered through this thing, you know, sideways, and one of the reasons is the instructions always intrigued me. And I wanted to know where there was evidence of entrapment, but the only evidence I had was that the government made it available for him to purchase it from some guy who he claims he was working for as an agent.
Yes, Your Honor.
Not a crime, not an entrapment.
And if this court so finds, then I believe this court can move on to the next issue, which is the agency issue. The federal regulations, I believe, clearly permitted the defendant to have possession of the ephedrine product and to distribute it in his ordinary course of business, which he did. In instructing the jury in the court's instruction number 21, the court impermissibly shifted the burden of proof from the government to the defendant. Specifically, in the instruction, the court required on page 10 of my brief that in order to establish the agency relationship, a defendant must show, and then the court listed three things. Those three things that the court listed there, Your Honor, are not required under the federal regulations. The federal regulations, 21 U.S.C. Section 802.3, simply provides and defines an agent as an authorized person who acts on behalf of or at the direction of the distributor. And that's what the defendant did in this case. He acted on behalf of the distributor. The court's instruction shifts that burden back to the defendant, for the defendant to show that he was not only an agent, but to prove the three things set forth in that instruction, which are unnecessary under the federal regulation, required the defendant to carry a burden of proof when that burden of proof should have stayed with the government.
The government cites at page 15 of their brief, 21 U.S.C. 885A1, which says it shall not be necessary for the United States to negate or negative any exception set forth in a chapter in any complaint, information, indictment, or other pleading in any trial. And the burden of going forward with this evidence with respect to such an exemption shall be upon the person claiming its benefit.
Yes, and the defendant in this case went ahead with his presentation of...
But he didn't have the burden.
He had the burden to present the evidence. He didn't have the burden to prove to the jury either by a preponderance of the evidence or certainly...
He has to raise the issue.
He simply has to raise the issue.
And he has to produce some evidence of it other than the fact that he says that I am an agent.
Correct.
And what did he produce?
Well, in this case, Your Honor, I'll go ahead and finish. I see my time.
But I have a call with the chief, and he'll give you a couple of minutes more.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. In this case, the videotapes and the audio tapes demonstrate that the government agent, Mr. Tinkham from Bestline, had given him the ephedrine product.
Right.
And our client specifically was going to distribute it to his own customers. Once he presents that evidence before the...
He's going to distribute it to his own customers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which under the federal guidelines, under the DEA regulations, is he's simply acting at the direction of the distributor.
He was directed to deliver this to his own clients, his own customers.
He was permitted to do that, acting at the direction of the license holder itself.
My cloud is running out, so you better knock it off and save some for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Has this four-day sentence been stayed pending this?
Yes, it has, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Cohen. Mr. Potter.
Good
May it please the Court. Assistant United States Attorney Jonathan Potter for the United States. The District Court did not err in instructing the jury in any way in this case. First, that's the issue of entrapment. As the Court has already noted, there was no crime in purchasing this ephedrine product. The defendant committed a crime in selling the ephedrine product. And there's plenty of information in this record to show that he, in fact, was predisposed anyway to purchase and sell ephedrine product. He approached Three Rivers Trading Company down in southern Indiana and tried to buy products from Dean Holland to sell product. He also approached Dean Holland's wife, Rochelle Holland, and tried to get her to give him ephedrine product. And he called Don Tinkham of Best Line Foods several times in an attempt to get ephedrine product. So there's clear evidence of predisposition, and the government did not facilitate the crime. All the government did in this case was facilitate Mr. Fiddicky in getting the product so he subsequently sold to various distributors through northern Indiana. To the second issue of the agency and the instructions regarding agency, the defendant bore the burden of demonstrating that he was an agent in this case. The instruction that Judge Sharp gave in this case did not negate any of the elements of the crime. The defendant admitted to distributing ephedrine product. He admitted he wasn't a licensed distributor of ephedrine product. His claim was, in fact, that he was an agent. No way did the instructions negate any element of the crime in this case.
What evidence did he have to put on to prove the agency?
Your Honor, he has to show, as we asked the court to instruct under Indiana law, he has to show some control of the Best Line Foods over Mr. Fiddicky, some control over his actions, where he goes, what he does, those type of things. He has to establish that he, in fact, answers to Mr. Tinkham. In this case,
how does he do it?
How does he do it?
Can he get up and say, I bought it from him and I thought I was his agent?
He can't just say that, no, Your Honor. That's not enough? That's not enough. And in this case,
isn't that raising the issue?
It raises the issue, but he did get an instruction on in this case. He has to do more. And in this case, Your Honor...
Wait a minute. What else does he have to do if he's raised the issue?
Well, he has to establish that he, in fact, is an agent. He can't just say,
back to the first question. How does he establish that he's an agent?
One thing, control over that individual.
Why does he have to establish that? Not the statute says he has to introduce evidence of his the burden of going forward.
The statute says that he has the burden of negate. The government does not have the burden of negating.
Right on.
That's
what it says. It says he has the burden of going forward. That means raise the issue.
And he did raise the issue.
Okay.
And the jury decided the issue. And
well, why did the jury decide the issue?
The jury was instructed that he had the burden of determining.
He had the burden of what?
That they had the burden of determining if
who had, oh, wait.
The jury.
The jury had the burden?
The jury had the burden.
We don't worry about jury
okay.
burden. We're not about his
the
burden.
The defendant had the burden of coming forward with the evidence. What
he said he did. Okay, now.
But not to the satisfaction of the jury. He brought forward evidence, but the jury still had to be the fact finder. And also, Judge Sharp instructed on good faith.
Well, once he brings a burden, he raises the issue. Isn't it your burden to negate it?
Yes, Your Honor. And we
didn't say he did. What did you negate it with?
We negated it with the fact that he said words like, I bought the product.
Did the jury instructions say that you had the burden of negating it?
No, Your Honor, but it said he had to act in good faith. They had to establish that the defendant was not acting in good faith. There was a good faith defense.
That's got nothing to do with burdens.
Yes, Your Honor, but it does have to do with the fact they had to find some criminal intent on the part of the defendant in this case.
Uh-huh.
And they did find criminal intent on the part of the defendant. Possibly because of the fact that he hid the product from DEA agents after he heard they were after him. Possibly because he told various stories. There's no doubt that they had to find that he had criminal intent in this case, and they did in fact find that he had criminal intent because they found that he did not act in good faith. So if there's any other problems with the instructions, that good faith instruction would save all these other instructions as far as the criminality involved in this case. If you have no further questions, the United States asks that you affirm the...
A sigh of relief. Go ahead.
The United States asks that you affirm the decision in this case. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Potter, Mr. Coombs.
I think the court was correct in asking the government, what did the government, did the instruction inform the jury that the government had the obligation to negate the agency? And this instruction did not do that. And then this instruction was misleading to the jury, and I believe confused the jury. And on its face, it clearly required that the defendant prove the agency, not just go forward with the evidence, but actually to prove the agency. And that's more than what due process requires, and that's why the defendant got convicted in this case. Thank you.
By the way, I think you did a very good job with what you had to work with.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And we thank you.
Thank you, Cohen. Our thanks to both counsel. Mr. Cohen, I want to give you an additional thanks to the court for accepting this appointment and ably representing the defendant.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right.